Praise the Lord, I saw the light. How many of you have seen the light? Huh? Amen. Amen. All right. You know, I believe every human being alive on the planet likes to be comforted from time to time. All of us might have a slightly different idea of what comfort is, or what that means to us. It might mean one thing for you, it might mean something else for somebody else. Comfort's defined by that which helps us to be at ease. It kind of eases things for us. For example, when we get ill, it's nice to have somebody maybe care for us or do some little things for us, like maybe bring us a cup of broth or soup or something. When situations and activities overwhelm us, having somebody listen when things get tough can be comforting. Perhaps having friends and family around when we experience the loss of a loved one is comforting. Usually, comforting is not something that we can do for ourselves. We're the ones in distress, and so we need an outside force to bring comfort to us, or to comfort us, to aid us, to assist us, to help us. Others come alongside of us to soothe us and console us and help us to be at ease and calm us. They might serve to reassure us that we're on track. And someone who comforts us can be called a comforter. They do what needs to be done, and in that way, they help to ease our struggle. They might offer ways to help that relieve our burdens. They might teach us how to do things better to avoid distress. Sometimes that's a very big way to comfort someone, and helping them to figure out how a better way to do things so then there's less stress in their lives. They might stand up with us, and they might stand up for us in different or difficult encounters. The word that Jesus used to describe the Holy Ghost that's written in John's gospel record and in his first epistle is translated in the King James Version of the Bible as comforter. But the Greek word has deeper meaning than that. There's not one single English word that carries sufficient meaning to translate the word, which is parakletos. There's no English word that completely explains that word or takes its place. So we've got to use a lot of words to be able to explain what parakletos means. The definition transmits many ideas, including advocate, advocating for someone, helper, teacher, intercessor, the one who steps in for another in their place. And the Holy Spirit is here now in this room, but at the same time, He is present in each true believer who have surrendered themselves to God. Now, I want us to open our Bibles to the 14th chapter of John's gospel record. You'll find that on page 727 in the Pew Bible. John chapter 14, and you're going to find, we'll begin at verse 15 and read through verse 18. John chapter 14, again, page 727 in the Pew Bible, verses 15 through 18. But before we go there, I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would help us to hear Your word today. Open our ears, Lord. Take away any distractions, anything that might be competing with our minds for our attention. Take all distractions away, Father. Help us by Your Spirit to hear Your truth from Your Word, because Your Word promises that Your Spirit will teach us all truth. And so today, Father, as we listen to the words that You provide through the speaker here, Yours truly, we ask that You would help us to receive Your truth in its fullness. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15 and reading through verse 18. If you love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I said God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I want us also now to turn to John chapter 15. And we're going to begin at verse 18. John 15, verse 18. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. In other words, because of your belief in him, because of your affiliation with Christ, they will do these things to you because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Pray that God adds his blessing to reading of that portion of Scripture. Now, over to chapter 16. And we are going to read, beginning at verse 1 through verse 15. These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I ask that he would open our minds to hear what he has to say. Father, give me unction to speak today. Pour your Spirit upon us and guide us. Open our ears and clear our minds, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, John's gospel record is the only one to mention this idea of the Holy Spirit coming as a helper. The Holy Spirit coming as a comforter. The Holy Spirit coming as an advocate. He said, I'll send you another helper. John tells us that Jesus' promise to send the Parakletos, it's the word translated comforter in the King James and helper in the New King James. John's the only one that tells us this, and he used this root word five times in his writings. Two times in chapter 14 of John, which we just read, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another helper. He's referring to the Holy Spirit as if he's another Jesus, but in the spirit, not in the physical realm. He says that he may abide with you forever. That's in verse 26. But the helper, he says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He'll teach you all things. He's going to send him from the Father. He proceeds from the Father. He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He defines the helper as the Holy Spirit. So we know that when this word parakletos is being used in John's gospel record, we know that he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about himself, although that same word John uses to describe Christ in his first epistle, and we'll look at that a little bit later. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying Holy Spirit will come. Holy Spirit will take a hold of you. Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to learn. Holy Spirit will remind you of what he taught, of what Jesus taught. Holy Spirit's another helper. Jesus was a helper. The Holy Spirit is another helper. Teach you all things. He used that same root word once in chapter 15, verse 26. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit testifies of Christ Jesus. He tells us, he teaches us, he helps us to receive Christ. He also used it once in chapter 16 at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. So what we're seeing is that the Spirit of Christ is not going to be here at the same time as the physical person of Christ. And it's to our advantage that the Spirit of Christ is here, because there's no record in the Bible of the physical person of Jesus Christ being in more than one place at once. And yet, we learn that the Holy Spirit can be in all places at once. And John also used it in his first letter, chapter 2 and verse 1, where it's written, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." He gives us an advocate to keep us from sinning. He says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that word advocate is parakletos in the Greek. Same word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit. And that connects Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, together. In his gospel record, John relates Jesus' promise three times. Three times, and each of these passages becomes a witness to the fact that John is telling us Jesus made this promise. There are three witnesses. Now we know by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word is established. That's what the scripture tells us. And we have three witnesses here of the promise of the helper to come. So we know that it's a fact. It's described, it's explained, and it occurred. And at some point in the future, in one of the messages in the coming weeks, we will learn about when the Parakletos came upon the disciples. More than once, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit. According to Strong's dictionary, the root word Parakletos means an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, a comforter. Thayer's Greek definitions goes a little further. It tells us the parakletos is summoned or called to one's side, to one's aid. It's one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a pleader, counsel for the defense, legal assistant, an advocate. One who pleads another's cause as an intercessor. When we pray for someone else, as we prayed for this man who was in a motorcycle accident. We pray for him. We're interceding on his behalf. That's intercessory prayer. And Thayer goes on to say, it speaks of Christ. Paracletos speaks of Christ in his exaltation at God's right hand, pleading with God the Father for the pardon of our sins. This matters to each and every believer. Because here's Christ pleading with the Father for forgiveness for you and for me, for all of us, for everyone who believes, for all who have named the name of Christ. He's pleading with the Father. Forgive them, Father, for they have sinned. In the widest sense of the word, the Parakletos is a helper, an aider, an assistant. Do you need assistance? You need the Holy Ghost. Do you need aid? Do you need help? You need the Holy Spirit. And then Thayer goes on to say the Holy Spirit. So he's not just talking about some imaginary helper or aider. He now, in the Thayer's dictionary, is pointing to Jesus saying the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes the place of Christ with the apostles after Jesus ascended to the Father. Jesus is now gone. The Holy Spirit is here. And he says in Thayer's, it says, to lead them, the Holy Spirit is here to lead believers to a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth. He says, to give them divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the divine kingdom. Now, we don't want to undergo trials and persecutions for the divine kingdom, do we? How many of us willingly signed up to be a believer because we knew we were going to be persecuted? Not very many people sign up with that in mind, at least not in this country. Now, some third world countries, some other countries, even larger countries, where they are persecuted for their faith, people sign up knowing very well that they may be persecuted for their faith. But here, well, we've had it pretty easy for the last 50 or 60 years, 100 years. Hadn't been much persecution in this land. It's starting, though. As I was preparing for this message, I don't have the citation. I wish that I would have brought it with me. I'm sorry that I didn't. There was an article in the newspaper about a couple whose farm is under attack because they hold Bible studies. And the local government doesn't want them to hold these Bible studies. They don't want them to hold religious functions. This is in America. New Swickley, I think it's called, down there in Allegheny County. And I checked the sources on the story. It's not one of those fake news things. It's actually happening. The couple had to sue the local government to stop them from interfering with their religious freedom. Now, the Holy Spirit leads us into a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth. The Holy Spirit gives us divine strength that's needed to enable us to undergo trials and persecutions. And I know many of us are going through trials and persecutions in lots of different ways, and these are all insidious ways, sneaky ways that the devil takes our attention off of Christ. But we have to remember that he's there to help us on behalf of the divine kingdom, the kingdom of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit leads believers into a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth. If you find yourself growing in your faith, it's the Holy Spirit that's aiding you. He's helping you. The Holy Spirit gives you divine strength that is needed, not just desired, it is needed to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of God's kingdom. Not just for your day-to-day life. On behalf of God's kingdom. Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary says about the same thing as Strong's and Thayer's. You know, it says he's an aider, a helper, etc., an intercessor. And the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, it's a set of dictionaries about so wide, 10 volumes or so, maybe more. We have a set here at the church. Belonged to a pastor that passed away during his pastorate here in 2000. That theological dictionary of the New Testament gives in-depth background, including historical use of the word and arguments for and against certain interpretations. It has 14 pages of information on this one word. Now we're going to go through those 14 pages. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bore you with dictionary definitions beyond the next statement that I make. That 14 pages of information on this one word is all kinds of background and arguments and all this other stuff. It's very in-depth. But it provides us this one thing. The use as a noun attested to in secular Greek from the 4th century B.C. gives the sense of a person called in to help, summoned to give assistance. Now, if you're in a battle, you're in a fight, you're in a fight for your life, okay? Don't you want somebody to help you? Don't you want somebody standing there? You don't want to be on the front line by yourself, right? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's who He is. He is with you in the battle. He is next to you. He is fighting for you and with you. And all kinds of hell rains down on believers all over the world. But the Holy Spirit's there. He's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that aids us. He's the one that supports us. He's the one that comforts us. Isn't it comforting to know that you're not alone in the battle? That's the main idea. The Holy Spirit gives you what you need to be able to endure the battle, not necessarily pull you out of it. You might stay in the battle. You might not come out of the battle. You might be in it for the rest of your life. And I know that's not a Christian recruiting message, especially not in the New Age Christianity that we have in this world today. But that's the truth of it. God is with us. He said He will be with us. And He is. He's there with us, beside us. He's helping us. He's aiding us. He's fighting with us. And part of it is to strengthen us, to leave us in that battle. We know that Christ is our helper in court. He's our advocate, according to the passage that we read in 1 John chapter 2. He's our legal assistant in the court of heaven. He pleads our case before Almighty God. He intercedes on our behalf. He speaks before the Father. The devil accuses, and Christ defends. He speaks on behalf of the accused. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I know I've sinned, and I've fallen short of the glory of God. I have sinned throughout my life, and I have fallen short of the glory of God, and Christ stands before the Father, and He says, He's mine. He does the same for each of you. If you're truly believers, He stands before the Father, and He says, He's forgiven, He's mine. He advocates on our behalf. Now, I can't explain it any better than that. He's like our supreme lawyer in the court of heaven. And not like the lawyers on earth that are all part of the same association. He doesn't have an association. He's not working with the devil. He's working against the devil. There's two parts of that Greek word, parakletos, and they show that it means called in aid from para. Para means called in aid, alongside. And kletos from kalein, to call. Who are called in. The Holy Spirit is called in to aid or to help. To called in alongside of us. He's the helper. And this is where it gets interesting. We look at the context of Jesus' teaching. Because where did Jesus deliver this? What part of His dialogue did He deliver this in? That matters. The context of where it occurs matters. Now, we looked at three separate passages of where Jesus gave this information. He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. If you want the help of the Holy Spirit, keep Christ's commandments. Don't go running wild in your life and expect that the Holy Spirit's going to be there to get you out of jams that you get yourself into. Isn't going to happen. Guarantee you that. Keeping His commandments is extremely important if you want the help of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, you can't run wild and expect His help. It doesn't happen that way. But there's many today that are preaching, go and do whatever you want because God loves you. God's a God of love. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. You can go do whatever you want. But that's not what God's Word says. the helper, will assist you in resisting temptation. He helps you to fight that temptation. And sometimes those temptations are hard, but He's there with you. He is right there beside you. He's in the battle. He's got Him up and He's there. He's got it for you. He's got your back. He's going to stop you from being tempted. All you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I surrender to You." He'll keep you from sinning. Those who love Christ know that He'll assist you to live outside of sin because He's the Spirit of truth, not error. Those who love Christ follow His teachings. We love Him, and He loves us, and He reveals Himself to us. And those of us who love Him have His Father's love, and the Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. And sometimes He says, "Don't go that way." Sometimes He says, "Go this way." Sometimes He says, "Don't do that." Sometimes He says, "Do this." It's His guidance that keeps us for God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things that are necessary if we obey Jesus' teachings. And He reminds us of what Jesus taught. Jesus talked about the world hating Him and His followers in John chapter 15. He said, if they persecuted Him, they'll also persecute you. Well, how many people are preaching that today? Jesus said, if they persecuted Him, His followers will also be persecuted. Well, there's people all over the world that know that for a fact because they're being persecuted. Whoever hates Him, He said, hates his Father. And then He tells of the Holy Spirit leading His followers to bear witness of Him. Wait a minute. We're in a battle. We're fighting. And we're telling other people about Jesus? That's what He said. That's exactly what He said. In the beginning of the 16th chapter of John, we hear Jesus tell of a time when His followers will be troubled and persecuted. Again, trouble. Again, persecution. Come on, can't we get out of this? Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit is right there with us to battle with us, to make us stronger. Yeah, I read a story one time about a guy that was told by God to push this big rock up a hill. And the rock never budged. And when he got to heaven, he said, "God, what'd you do this to me for? I pushed that rock all my life and I never got it to move." And God said, "Look how strong you are. Look how bronze your skin is. Look how beautiful you are. You're my creation." Now sometimes those rocks that we're pushing don't move. Sometimes the battle doesn't stop. Sometimes we're up to our necks in it and we can't get out of it. And so we need the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us. And sometimes He uses other people to come alongside of us, to help us. And we have praises every Sunday morning. And some of you say, "I praise God for those people that came alongside of me. I praise God for people that taught me how to fix my car. I praise God for those people that have helped me when I've been ill. I praise God for the people, my family, everybody praising God for other helpers." And do you not know that Almighty God uses people? He uses His Holy Spirit and He uses people to come alongside of us, to help us get where He wants us to go, to be who He wants us to be, to do what He wants us to do, to say what He wants us to say, to preach His Word, to teach His Word, to share our faith with others. That's what Jesus says. He said they're going to persecute and kill His followers. He said the time's coming whenever somebody kills you, they'll think that they offers God service. That's what they did to Him. Do we think somehow we're different if we're following Him? Do we think somehow we're going to escape for all of our lives and never have any trouble? Why do you think He sent the Holy Spirit? He said why? To help you through these troubles. To get you through these tough times. Sometimes it's the people that are closest to us that persecute us. He said the reason that they'll persecute and kill His followers is because they haven't known the Father or Him. These are hard truths, and they're very rarely preached today. Nobody likes this uncomfortable stuff. You know, it just makes us so uncomfortable, Pastor. We don't want to hear about this. Can't you tell us that nice stuff? You know, if we look at the context, we can picture the Holy Spirit coming alongside of believers as they endure persecution. The Holy Spirit is there to enable us to endure persecution and some even death. He's called to aid us while we battle against God's enemies, because you know these enemies, they're not our enemies. Oh, they pose themselves as our enemies, but they're enemies of the cross. They're enemies of Almighty God. He gives us divine strength that's needed to enable us to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the divine kingdom. Can we praise God for that? Yes, we can. God gives us what we need to overcome. And by Him, we are more than overcomers. That's what His Word says. There's many passages of Scripture that relate the fact that believers are enlisted in spiritual warfare. There's no doubt in my mind, we are all enlisted in a spiritual war. After we commit our lives to God, we're in a battle. There's an eternal battle on for souls, okay? The enemy of souls wants to take those souls. The enemy of God wants to sweep you into hell and burn you for eternity. It's his hell. It was made for him and his angels. You don't belong there. And so Christ came to show you that you don't belong there, and you can get out of that death sentence and that burning eternal fire by turning your life to Christ. And in that process, you become a part of the battle. The word parakletos is used regarding Holy Spirit as our advocate when we're on trial. Whether it's a legitimate, legally constituted court or not, we have a lot of de facto courts in the world today. Jesus was silent through most of his time in the mockery of justice that posed as a legitimate court in his proceedings. For those who proceeded over him, he was silent for most of the time. He said very little, but when he did, it had significance. And do you know, sometimes that's what happens with you. If you find yourself on trial for your faith, you may have very little to say. But when you do, it'll be the Holy Spirit that's speaking through you, and he'll give you what to say. That's what's written. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 9, we hear, "But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them." You will be testifying to rulers of your faith. What better time when they have you on trial for your faith than to tell them what it is that Christ did for you? And then Jesus added, "But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." And this is what inspired me to write a verse to the song that we sing. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And the verse that I wrote was, "If they arrest you and throw you in jail, God will take care of you. All of your enemies he'll assail, God will take care of you." He gave me that from his word, right there. They deliver you up to councils to be beaten. When they arrest you and deliver you up, don't worry beforehand. God will take care of you. He'll give you what to say. Near the end of his life, King David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." That's written in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. And even when brother delivers up brother to death, father's child, children rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. That's all written. You know, Jesus said that was going to happen. Even when you're hated by all for his name's sake, Jesus said that was going to happen. Those who tolerate it and continue in the faith to the end will be saved. That's what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. He teaches the truth and reminds us of what Jesus taught. We simply need to obey what Jesus taught. And the Holy Spirit will remain with us to teach us and stand with us to aid us. Isn't it nice to know you got somebody by your side? Wasn't there an insurance company that said, Nationwide is on your side? They got nothing on Christ. They got nothing on the Holy Spirit. When they bring you before the religious leaders and the civil magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you must say. In that hour, in that moment, at that time, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say. If you are arrested and they throw you in jail, the Holy Spirit will take care of you for your faith. I'm not saying go out and rob a bank and expect the Holy Spirit to help you get out of it, okay? He's our comforter. Comes alongside of us. Teach us exactly what we need to say when we're persecuted for our faith. If you're following the teachings of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's with you. And He provides comfort, aid, assistance, guidance, teaching. Sadly, too many people in the Western world are extremely comfortable. We have comfort. Why would we need a comforter? We're comfortable. Peace and safety. All is well. Well, this too shall pass. When the time comes, and it will, as it's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. The whole world's heading there, and they just ignore it. But we who are of the Comforter, we realize it. Only those who are faithful to the teachings of Jesus will receive help from the Holy Spirit. And as I wrap this up, folks, I want you to remember, I want it to be driven home in you that the Holy Spirit is your helper. If you're a believer, if you're following the teachings of Christ, the Holy Spirit is there with you. When you're in the battle, turn and say, I need your help. Help me. He guides us from darkness into light. And I think it was so appropriate that George chose that song. He didn't know what I was preaching on today. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to see the light. From the very beginning, Almighty God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. But we forget. It's like I mentioned to Connie this morning. Sometimes we forget. We just have to turn to God. We just forget. It slips our mind. We're so engaged in the battle. We're so engaged. We're so in there. We're fighting it out. But God's right there with us. What can man do to me? That's what's written. The Lord is my helper. He comes when He's needed in times of distress. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. I need help. And so I beg for it. Even as I said earlier in my sleep, I'm praying, God, help us. He comforts the afflicted. And so do as the Apostle Paul. Now this is a hard teaching. Take pleasure in infirmities. That's what Paul said. I take pleasure in infirmities. He said, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, not for my own sake, not for the world's sake, not for my family's sake, for Christ's sake. Yes, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. That's a hard teaching, right? How many of us want to take pleasure in infirmities, sickness, or illness of some sort? How many of us want to take pleasure in reproaches, being reproached by others? How many of us want to take pleasure in needs, having needs? How many of us want to take pleasure in persecutions or distresses for Christ's sake? That's a hard one. And not very many people are going to preach on that today, I'll tell you right now. Oh, we've all become so comfortable, and then now we're so super sensitive. You say the wrong thing, and suddenly people are running away from you. Facebook's a good example of that, right? They just unfriend you. It's like the eternal, they're going to cast you into the Facebook hell. They're no longer your friend. But Paul also said when he's weak, then he is strong. And how is he strong when he's weak? Because he's got the helper. He's got that one standing right there beside him, ready to fight the enemy and to hold you up. Dear brothers and sisters and neighbors, he's ready to come alongside and comfort you. The question is, are you willing to obey Jesus? Do you want the helper's help? Let's pray. Father, you're in control. I trust, Lord, that you took a hold of my mouth today and had me say a whole lot more than I had on these notes. Oh, God, help us. We need your help now more than ever, Father. Help us to be encouraged, not discouraged. Help us to be encouraged that, yes, we are in battles, and it's a spiritual war, and yes, we are engaged in it, and yes, we might get injured or hurt from time to time, but we know that you have sent the Holy Spirit as our helper. Our comforter, who guides us out of the darkness into the light. You tell us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can boldly say you are our helper, and we will not fear. But Father, we are human. And at times of need and distress, sometimes we forget. Please remind us that you are there for us. That we who follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, the one that you sent, Lord, as the anointed one, can turn to you in times of need. I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now let's open our hymnals to number 394, and we will sing, I Surrender All, number 394. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing. Number 394, I Surrender All.
Hi, this is Maddie. I want you to visit with us next weekend.
For those of you who might be interested in helping us to support the ministry, you may send your gifts to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. May God richly bless you.